Vinny White Show on In-Depth Radio, News Talk 1010.
Good evening, how you doing? 7 minutes past nine, live and direct from the Eastern Standard Time Zone that is Toronto, the biggest city in Canada. Dare I say the best? Dare I? Well, dare I, yeah, but not factually definitely correct. I'm biased. I like to think it is. Although I haven't been to Vancouver, and the prefix is always beautiful if anyone says Vancouver. I don't think anyone's actually said I'm going to Vancouver. They always say either I'm going to Vancouver, it's beautiful there, or they say I'm going to beautiful Vancouver. Sort of get some hatred towards Vancouver. I feel like going there and graffitiing the whole thing just to go, ah, not anymore. Someone was in Vancouver this week. His name, Rob Ford. Used to have a show on this very station. Mayor of Toronto. I use Mayor of Toronto because he is. But is he? He is. But is he? Because he is. But is he? Because he hasn't got the power. He hasn't got the power, as Snap famously wrote. He was in Vancouver. Mayor Rob Ford had a run-in with police hours after arriving. This is a man that can't even go to a funeral in his own country without getting arrested and getting 1,000 photographs of him. I'd love to say that it's almost embarrassing, but I said it's almost embarrassing about a year ago, and I've been saying it's embarrassing ever since. Now, I don't know, is there a term for beyond embarrassing other than the term beyond embarrassing? It's unbelievable. It's more embarrassing than if you're not a Seahawks fan. Huh? I just linked it in because I want to give you the score. The Seahawks, 36. And the Broncos? I really wanted to come across as, like, knowledgeable North American. And I forgot the other team already. Seahawks, 36. The Broncos, Denver Broncos, 0. Which I don't know what that means, because where I come from, we're not allowed to pick up the ball and wear padding, but apparently that's acceptable here. So anyway, that probably means something to you, but it means nothing to me. Seahawks 36, the Broncos 0. Don't ever apply for a job on sports radio, Vinny. Coming up, some men running around, can't remember what they're called, what they do, or the rules, but it's going to be fantastic, and I'll give you the scores. That guy there on the left did really well when he moved it up a bit, even though he probably shouldn't have done, or whatever it was that he did. Good stuff. Good sports game. I think you can always say generic stuff. It's always good, you know. I think both teams are trying quite hard, but one of them really needs to try a bit harder than the other. That's all they do on sports radio anyway, isn't it? It was a good effort, but the lads really need to try harder. It would be nice to see 110%. Shut up. Shut up. They all say that, don't they? It's like the more big and important your team is, the more percent that you put in above 100, which is an impossibility anyway. We really need to put on 136% next week. Do you? Good luck with that. Good luck with that in the mathematical sense. So that's that. That's the score. And I'll keep you updated in a very professional way throughout the show, if I remember, which I probably won't. So Rob Ford was in Vancouver. I don't know what's wrong with this guy. I mean, I do. He's probably an alcoholic. But that's probably, and possibly allegedly, but he's not normal. He's not normal. Like, how many people need to say to him, Rob, here's what you got to do, buddy. Get yourself and your kids in your big old Escalade, drive to the airport, go to a family funeral. One day, over a weekend. So I believe it was a friend of his mother's, tragically passed. Very saddening. We've all been in a similar situation. You get off the plane, you go to a hotel, you chill out. You know what? If you feel crazy and the kids are in a restaurant with the wife, watch some porn in the comfort of your own home. That's about as crazy as you're allowed to be right now. And you know that. So do that. At most, do that. Ideally, don't even look at porn. Just get on with your life. It's only a weekend. Just get on with it. Live by the law, under the radar. Go to a funeral. Even the paparazzi of this country aren't going to follow you to a funeral. You could just do it. Pay your respects. Have a cheeky beer at the reception afterwards. I know you said you'd stop drinking, but no one's going to hold it against you having a beer at a funeral. Just a cheeky little one, right? You're not driving. Get yourself on a plane. Come back, right? That's what you got to do. All right with that, Rob? Don't get a ticket for jaywalking, then stay out all night and get pissed. That's all you've got to not do. That, and obviously don't go to a crack den. You succeeded with the latter. If you could have just paid attention to the former, it would have been great. I don't think I've even done the introduction to this show. I should probably tell you who I am and what's going on. Sorry, a bit confuddled with the whole affair. My name is Vinny, and I'm on till 10. And no, I'm not from round here. Do I need to do that? It's getting a bit boring, isn't it? Brighton, south coast of England, 7.5 years, and yes, I have still got the accent. Always will have. Get over it. 416-872-1010 on the phone. And you can phone in about anything, including our dear, beautiful, and definitely not shady, upstanding citizen of a mayor. 416-872-1010. StarTalk 8255. Or you can text the show all the way through. It's this really cool system. There's a big screen next to me, and it all gets read out. Well, it doesn't get read out. I read it out if I choose to. It would be a bit embarrassing if they just actually just read themselves like a computer. Like if Siri was built into our text system, this would be the most disgusting radio show. You wouldn't believe the I don't know what it is. When you hide behind a text message, you feel like you can be so rude. You should read some of them. Disgusting. Usually complimentary. Vinny, you're effing good. It's better than the ones I get sometimes. So that's that. You know what amazed me about this thing, Ford in Vancouver? You know, he was going to a funeral. With the time difference, he actually went to bed at 4 a.m. Now, few reports whether he was drinking or not, but there's one thing for sure. If you're on a dance floor with 100 people, getting selfies taken left, right and centre, smiling like a Cheshire cat, and it's knocking on for 4 a.m, I mean, call me a little cynical, but I think I'd have to be on something. I run out of batteries about 1 a.m. now. I like to snuggle up with a book. About 1:30, I'm done. That's it. But this guy, he just keeps trucking. Unbelievable. So I was interested in the reaction of Torontonians. Are they further ashamed and embarrassed by a man that's slowly dragging the name not only into the ground, but further than the ground, a bit underground by now? These are some of the reactions from the peeps of Toronto.
Well, I mean, I think he's is a boob. I'm not sure if you're going to air that.
Yeah,
but,
we can.
No, I don't think it reflects well in the city. And I think, more importantly, what he's doing to municipal politics and politics in general, I don't think it's acceptable that somebody that's in office that does illegal activities, presents himself in such a way, and then is still able to just apologize and everything's okay. So he's really changing the face of how we look at politics and how we look at municipal politics. And he should be ashamed, and he shouldn't be in office, yeah. Plain and simple.
Well, actually, in Sydney, I think 2 days ago, nobody ever gets fined ever, and they've just done this massive crackdown on jaywalking
in
Sydney.
Government revenue raising.
Oh, okay. So that's how we see it.
Anyway. So not a big crime.
No.
Not a big crime, as long as he's chosen the right time to do it and he's safe.
Yeah,
sorry. I mean, you're representing a city, and not very well.
Yeah.
And especially when you go somewhere else, it's a reflection on everybody that lives here.
Yeah.
So it's just unacceptable.
But jaywalking, big deal, not a big deal?
Not a big deal.
We all do it, kind of.
Yeah.
Have you done it?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Rob Ford for Prime Minister.
Brilliant justification there. Rob Ford for Prime Minister. Because he jaywalks. I actually don't care about jaywalking. I can't believe it exists as a charge. It doesn't exist in Europe, as far as I'm aware. If you want to cross the road, you can cross the road. If you get hit by a car, then good luck to you. Because you're probably going to be in a lot of pain. But it does exist here. I don't think there's anything particularly wrong with him jaywalking. I certainly think that it's such a pathetically minor infraction that who cares. But it does concern me that the guy's up till 4 a.m. Eastern Standard Time drinking. That one gets me a little bit. And okay, it's allegedly drinking, but this is not a man that's been too truthful on his word about giving up drinking, bearing in mind that he was hammered the other day saying bomber clap. Can I say that, by the way? Can I say bomber clap? I wonder if I could on Jamaican radio. Let's get it all out now in case I ever go to the Caribbean. Bomber clap. So that's that. Now, what amazes me is the wonderful world. It's almost like a fifth dimension of Rob Ford's Facebook page, which I visit every time there's a scandal, which, of course, is every day, and read the incredible responses from the loyal fans. And yes, oh, they're still there to his latest shenanigans. And this one was written this week and got a total of 6 likes. I don't care if Rob has sex with the Pope. If he can save me a few thousand in savings, he's the man. So I'd like to say this, indeed, as time passes, the Gardner may fall. The waterfront may never get developed in anything more than the mess that it is, and the TTC, the incredible TTC, will still be laughably behind the rest of the Western world. The people on the streets with mental health issues will go a bit crazier with depression, and the theatres and art programmes will go unfunded. But as long as you save, that's okay. As long as you save about $150, that's okay. And when the replacement to the Gardner cost billions because it was started so late, when the tourists pick Montreal over Toronto because they have a nice waterfront and great theatre, and when the crazy guy in the street stabs someone in the neck because he's been ignored for too long, be sure to look at your nice new car, the $150 car that you can now afford, and do enjoy it. Do enjoy it. But don't drive in Toronto because the bridges might collapse. And by the way, just wait till you see your tax bill then. Ha! But logic never really a good argument with these people. 9:18 is the time. My name's Vinny. How are you? You're right. Super Bowl, I've got to be honest, don't entirely understand it. And I know I should have been here for enough years. I should have taken more of an interest. But when I was growing up, I didn't really have a massive interest in any sports, and I still don't. Because it wasn't in the family. My dad had a brain tumour when I was about 17, so he wasn't like fighting fit. So, like, a lot of teenage boys would go out and kick balls around, but I didn't. So I sort of don't get it. And one of the most fearful things to me is when I meet someone, and because I'm English, they obviously say straight away, what team do you support? And I just sort of cry a bit and just cower because I don't support one. I've ended up supporting one that I don't know anything about just because I thought I'd better pick one because it's going to make my life a lot easier in parties. So I support Fulham. Don't know anything about them. Apparently it's in London. One of the London teams. That's good. So there you go. Go Fulham. Go. And the problem is they were saying, how are they doing? And I say, well, you know, oh, they're on the up and the down, really. You know, they've been playing some interesting games of football. That's what I usually say. But one of the things I found very interesting about this Super Bowl is the pot sales. I went to Loblaws today here in Toronto and people were buying chips like it was Chipmageddon. And I'm sure if they sold beer in supermarkets in Toronto, like they do in 99% of countries in the Western world, by the way, and probably 98% of countries in the whole world, I'm sure there would have been a lot of beer being wheeled out of the supermarket. But one of the things that's been really interesting in the States, always been so anti-drugs down there, isn't it, is to see the very slow change towards being a bit more pro-pot. And the interesting thing about the two teams in the Super Bowl is that they're both either just made marijuana legal for recreational purposes or are in the process of. Yeah, so you've got Washington State and Colorado. I think Colorado already have, and Washington State are sort of just getting the paperwork together to make it that way. So it's really interesting, actually, to see the amount of people that are going out to the various stores. There was a Denver Kush Club, a marijuana dispensary in Denver, and they said, we're running out of the product. We can't really justify any deals right now because it's all football crazy. People just want the marijuana. Kush Club, where they sell marijuana, he says, but now why should this be any different? Over the past few weeks, marijuana dispensaries in Colorado have seen a rise in the days and hours before the Broncos playing. Didn't do the Broncos any good, I don't think, being that the score's 36-0 right now to the Seahawks, but nonetheless. Fans are stocking up with the weed. Since Denver is playing in the Super Bowl, Colorado shops have also seen the biggest spike in sales yet. The proprietors say, I'll try it in a sort of dude American accent that's mildly stoned, see if I can get away with it. It's Sunday, man, you're hanging out with your house and you're relaxing. Of course you're going to get high, says the store manager for Mile High Medical and Recreational Cannabis, located just across the home of the stadium home of the Broncos. Instead of relaxing with a Budweiser, I guess you're just going to relax with a Bud. It's the way forward, man. And everyone seems to bond over cannabis use. It's just awesome. It's an awesome way to spend your day, he said. Yeah, actually, I have to say, coming from a country where people beat each other up, beat the crap out of each other, in fact, for just being from a different part of the same town, which is often the case in the soccer violence of the United Kingdom, I think it's quite nice. See people mildly stoned eating Doritos. They're going to eat those Doritos anyway with beer. So if they're actually getting on, I think it's quite good. I can't see the fights happening over that. I'm going to smash your face in. Oh, this is, I'm so high. This is awesome. It's not really a drug that's necessarily associated with violence. If you want to call in 416-872-1010, we're going to take a break. We'll talk about the most tattooed man in the world. And we'll also talk about another couple of things as well. Last week, we were doing the worst choir in the world. And I got a very interesting email from someone that's in a choir here in Toronto. And a very good one. And we'll give them a bit of airplay later on as well.
You're tuned in to The Vinny White Show on In-Depth Radio, News Talk 1010.
Hello. Okay, so the latest score, if you're interested in the Super Bowl, and even if you're not, I'm still going to tell you. Seahawks 43, Broncos 8. Seahawks 43, Broncos 8. So that's good, is it? I don't know. It was all right, the halftime stuff, I suppose. It's all right. I don't know. I mean, does it need to get any bigger, the Super Bowl? It's like New Year's Eve now, isn't it? It's never good enough. You think, oh, it's going to be amazing. Can't wait. And then afterwards, you're like, oh, bit of an anticlimax. And then you just go to like a normal game or just live a normal day and suddenly have a good day. Pressure's too much. $2,800 for a ticket, by the way. Super Bowl, minimum. It's a bargain, isn't it? It's a bargain. I don't actually understand the rules. I think that might be part of the problem. Also, I hate Bruno Mars, and I'm confident that every sponsor is satanically evil. Always good to be cheerful, though. I did ask actually on Facebook what you think of the Super Bowl, because I'm always interested as to know whether the following is as abrasively keen here as it is in the United States of America. The chances are, if you're listening to this show, you certainly think the answer is no, because you probably wouldn't be listening to this if you're a massive Super Bowl fan. Lorraine says, I'm not watching the Super Bowl, that's for sure. I'm watching a movie, the Switch. Lay says, getting ready to watch a ton of Doctor Who episodes. My oldest son recently discovered the show and is hooked, and it's my youngest son's birthday. So definitely be infinitely more interesting and fun things to do on Groundhog Day here, she says. Laura says, watching the Super Bowl, not understanding some of the rules, loving Bruno Mars, and particularly loving the Red Hot Chili Peppers even more, enjoying the commercials. Joan says, not watching the Super Bowl, the commercials cost $8 million a minute. Seriously, I think of those with little or no food, no place to live, and it makes me want to puke. Joan there, shedding quite a good point on things. Jack says, I've had a lovely dinner with my lovely sweetie, who, like me, has no use for football. I could presume it's your wife. Who could say? Or husband. It's a very groovy society we live in. Michelle says, watching The Conjuring. Janet says, the Red Hot Chili Peppers rock. Yeah, they did steal the show a little bit. Also, I saw that the Bruno Mars, a little bit of an 80s throwback. A little bit of ABC-type jackets. Gold jackets. Proper gold. Like you could pop them in the oven for 20 minutes. Do you know what I mean? Baking foil type, but with a tinge of yellow. Very much. You could see your face in him. Squeaky clean. A lot of makeup as well. And what a set of gnashers. So white, it was ridiculous. I think you can over-whiten your teeth, evidently, tonight. Rob says, soccer is kind of like football's... Sorry, soccer is kind of football girls play. Discuss. No. And Perestroika says, it's all good. Live and let live. People can do whatever they want. Let them enjoy. Good for you. Good for you. Speaking of living and let live and doing whatever you want, imagine if you wanted to cover your entire body with tattoos. Entirely. With maybe, I don't know, 5 to 10% of skin showing. This is an astonishing story from the UK. Everyone supporting this guy is pretty freaked out at his latest manoeuvre. There is a sort of peculiar... movement of cult tattoos, right? So people that enjoy tattoos a little bit more than your average little one on the sleeve, right? People that go for full body tattooing. But this guy's taken it to a whole new level recently when he decided to get his eye tattooed. Yes, his eyeball. He already has 90% of his body covered in ink. Now he went for his eyeball. But he's in a slight bit of hot water recently, as not only has he managed to completely tattoo nearly his entire body and his eyeball, but he's also changed his body, sorry, he's changed his name to something fairly ridiculous, and as a result has been granted refusal on a passport. He changed his name, Britain's most tattooed man, and was refused a passport because of it. His name is King of Inkland. King of Inkland. See what he did. That would be weird, but it carries on. King of Inkland, King Body Art, the Extreme Inkite. He's 34. He's blue. There's no other way to describe him. From a distance, he looks like a Smurf, although he hasn't got the, you know, the big white hat going on. But he's blue, and he's a blue man. He's just gone, right, you know, like Mike Tyson has those that face tattoo. It's almost Celtics-like. He's got all of them all over the place, but he's gone for them in blue, which is all very well until you take only a few steps back, and all you can see is blue. He's a blue man. He's blue. You just, like, you know how we always think that we don't judge people? We do. You've just got to accept it. And so the first thing that you think is, there's a man and he's blue. There's a blue man. There's a blue man. There's a man that's blue. I can't get my head around it. And then the closer you get, you think, oh, they're tattoos. And then when you get really close, you can see that also he's managed to tattoo his eye, which can't be safe. He's got ink in his eyeball. So he's got one, imagine where the whites of your eyes normally are. All that is black. But only in one eye, because he wanted to draw maximum attention to himself. So now you go, oh, has he got a black eye? Oh, yeah. Funny bloke. Let's be honest. Probably a couple of screws loose upstairs. But he speaks about what he's done to himself here.
My name's Body Art. I legally changed it. I'm 33 years old. I'm from Birmingham, England, in the United Kingdom. And I'm one of the most modified, inked people on the planet. Number tattoos on my body, people will see that I've got a lot of different images. To myself personally, I only see myself as having one actual tattoo, because it comes down to the number of hours in the chair under the needle. For example, a back piece might take 40 hours over a day, almost two days, where seven tattoos might be half hour a piece or an hour a piece. So I'm coming close to number under the needle, 300 hours now. It's really hard to estimate a cost on how much I've spent on my entire body. There is this ballpark figure in the media of about £20,000, which I personally think is quite good value for money when you look at people that smoke and various other stuff. Right. And this is with me for life. However, I've also removed tattoos, and that's cost me money, to remove the tattoo and then replace the tattoo. All different costs of tattooing methods as well. I've been hand-poked rather than the traditional machine tattooing. That's a lot more expensive.
Still got the accent, though. I appreciate people in glass houses can't throw stones, but I'd rather this one than that one. This is, if you're from the second biggest city in England, it's called Birmingham, and there's various different Birmingham accents, but this is the one that he's got, which, as you can hear, sounds like he's constantly moaning. So even if you're really happy, you end up saying, that was the greatest sex I ever had, and I really want to do it again with you, Margot. Can you move around and put the heels on? Because you know I love that. It's the least sexy accent in the world. But I think that's the least of his problems. Let's be honest, he's blue. and I don't mean by nature, I mean he's blue. I know I keep saying it, but I can't get my head around it. He's a man with a blue face. He's gone blue. It's not a colour that you associate with nature and skin tone on a very often basis, unless you're a bloody avatar. So it's pretty amazing. Go on, is there a bit more of him? Let's hear a bit more.
I'd say the ones that hurt the most would be pretty much the whole body, really. You're having a needle go in the body, for anyone that doesn't know the experience of a tattoo. And a lot of people would actually say a tattoo wouldn't hurt if they've had the arm done, but they haven't actually had their throat tattooed or something. And I've got to say, my throat was quite sore. It was the first major visible tattoo that I had done, and it was really sore on the outline work. I've really thought about having my eye tattooed and the risks and everything, because it's a high calculated risk. We're not talking organ tissue no more, we're talking muscle tissue. And while it's out there as an eyeball tattoo, medically, the white of the eye, which goes around, you've got the lens and the cornea, it's the sclera, the white. It's also known as staining. The medical term is staining of the sclera. For over a decade, I've actually wanted it done. In the modified community, it can be deemed quite rude to ask such a question.
What?
But there are many reasons why someone may want it done, for a political statement or shock factor. with myself, I'm just expressing myself through my body, through my skinology and body history, self-beliefs of history of my own body.
Yeah, all right, I suppose so. It's great that we can all do what we want, and good for you if that's what you're into. It's just, it's just, I don't know if you've got a sexual partner. I just think what you've done there, you have, there was already a pool. We've all got one, right? Sometimes I've been known to shoot too high in mine. And my friends have said, Vinny, let's be honest. You used to be hot. You've got a beer belly. Scale it back a bit. And reluctantly, you think, all right, the pool's a bit smaller. You get older, you chuck a few more years on, the hair goes back a bit, the pool gets smaller. Right? It's a fact of life. His pool went from quite big to one or two people. You know what I mean? There's of the 64 million residents of the United Kingdom, assuming that he's going to keep his search to the islands, I would imagine that there are probably two people that will find him sexually attractive. And I would imagine that both of them have got a mental illness. Because it's just not entirely within our remit as humans to find people that are blue in colour, that have got red, white and blue hair. I forgot to mention that. And has got one black eye. I just don't think... I mean, it's not what I go shopping for. Call me old-fashioned. But I'm interested in your thoughts on this. Are we getting too tattooed? I mean, let's be honest, it's gone crazy in recent years, hasn't it? It's difficult to see anyone that hasn't got all kinds of tattoos all over the shop when you go clubbing nowadays. When summer comes, they all come popping out of the woodwork. So let me know, are we getting too tattooed? 416-872-1010. I don't think there's any argument with him. Yes, I think he's getting a little too tattooed. But are we all doing it? I would imagine if you want to make some money, why don't you set up a place right here, right now, that removes tattoos? Because I tell you what, over the next 20 years, all these people that are like 17, 18, technically 18 plus, that have got, you know, their boyfriend's name tattooed on their back and the crappy Celtic stuff. Some of it's all right, don't get me wrong, but some of it... You know, when you just... I saw a Celtic one the other day. It looked like a worm on acid dipped himself in ink and crawled over someone's body. It was it was about as random as you could be. And they're like, isn't it awesome? It's Celtic. Yeah, it might have been in the drawings, but now it's been applied, it doesn't really look like it. It is awesome, as in it does inspire awe in me, but not for necessarily good reasons. So 416-872-1010. Are we getting too tattooed? Or am I just an old conservative aegis that hasn't kept up with the young, cool, groovy dudes of nowadays? And I need to associate with more hipsters and get a grip on myself. Let me know. 71010. First one comes in. Have you got any tattoos, Vinny? No. No. I think part of it is because I've got a problem with commitment. I don't even have a pot plant because I kill them. A pet's out of the question. So I know myself well enough to know, I know the best idea. I'm going to get a big face. It's going to be brilliant. 2 days later, hate it. So I actually have admiration for people that have a lot of tattoos because at least they are committed to decisions. Whereas I just sort of float around going, oh, I can't possibly do that. So there you go. Have we got to do a break? Yeah? We'll chuck a quick break in. We're going to talk about a guy that got very, very lost and ended up about 4,000 miles from home floating on a raft nearly a year later. Coming up right here on News Talk 1010.
This is the Vinny White Show on In-Depth Radio, News Talk 1010.
How you doing? Oh, can I ask you, Elliot, would you mind telling me the score? Can you look that up? 43-8 for the Seahawks.
That's good.
So the Seahawks 43-8 for the Broncos. Not looking good for them, is it? 6:33 remaining in the fourth quarter. Actually sounded like I knew what I was talking about there. That's most media, by the way. Just regurgitate with confidence. 6:33 remaining in the fourth quarter. Looking fantastic right now for the Seahawks. They'll be stoked with 43. Broncos, very light throughout the game. 8 so far as 2 wickets and 6 over par. Fantastic goal and 3 tries and a bag of cheese. See, just say it with conviction. People go, oh, he must know what he's talking about. No idea. Well, this is how I'd actually say it if I was asked to do this. Lots of men looking very buff, but not particularly buff, slightly homoerotic, running out on a field, got some very tight pants on, Not sure why they're wearing so much padding, because I can't think of any other sports that take so much precaution with health and safety. But nonetheless, they're certainly acting up a big game today as one team takes on another. There's some passing. Some reason that it seems to stop an awful lot. Probably an excuse to get more sponsorship in from big evil sponsors that conquer the world and take over every other small product, crushing it out of the system and slowly and painfully reducing us to mega global brands that have a very difficult impact on some of the natural preservation of the ecosystems of Central and South America. Back to the game now, as I observe more buff men running around scoring goals, and now I'm going to have a hot dog. I think that's what I'd say if it was actually down to me, which is why I'm not a sports commentator. What would happen if you set adrift a long way? This is one of the most amazing stories I've read in a while, and it's been buried underneath all this hype over the Super Bowl, and so I thought I'd share it with you. It absolutely blew my mind. A Mexican castaway who says he spent more than a year adrift in the Pacific has pleaded to be taken home after washing up in the Marshall Islands. "I want to go back to Mexico," said Jose Ivan. Reportedly said that he was just recently taken to the island's capital, Marao. So let's just get an idea of some logistics here. Mr. Ivan said he left Mexico with a friend for a trip in a fiberglass bottom boat in December 2012. He was found by people living on an island of Ebon Atoll on Thursday. Emaciated and wearing only raggedy underpants, Mr. Ivan washed ashore when his boat floated onto a reef at a small, isolated island. He apparently survived the 5,000-mile, that's 8,000-kilometre ordeal, by catching fish, birds and turtles with his bare hands. He said his travelling companion died at sea many months ago. No details have emerged about how the 24-foot boat ran into trouble and how his companion died. Well, I always imagine his companion died of starvation and dehydration. Don't know if he ate him. Sorry, I know we're all thinking it. Someone had to say it. Would he do that? Would he eat him? Olaf Fjarstad, a Norwegian anthropology student on the islands, which I can only describe as somewhere between Mexico and Australia. Like, proper remote. Middle of the Pacific. It's crazy. So this guy, a Norwegian anthropology student on one of the islands, told the news that he apparently discovered the guy wandering around in his underpants, looking a bit lost, next to a beaten-up old boat, and we went over to him. He said, "First, we found his boat. We weren't sure if there was a man nearby or not. It was overgrown with shells and other sea animals. It had in it a live baby bird, a dead turtle, and some turtle shells, and fish leftovers. We saw him. He was in really bad shape in terms of strength and in terms of mental health." I should think he was. That's why you need a ball called Wilson. We know that. As he boarded a Marshall Islands patrol vessel today, he said, "I feel bad. I'm so far away. I don't know where I am and I don't know what happened." Reasonable thing to say, given the circumstances. I mean, not particularly inspiring. But nonetheless, I think you're in a pretty good position to say that. Yeah, I mean, imagine the west coast of Mexico. And then just go sort of southeast as if you were trying to get to New Zealand, Australia for 8,000K. That's how far he went. And what blew my mind about this story even more, this isn't the first time this has happened. To my astonishment, I read that three Mexican fishermen were rescued off the Marshall Islands in August 2006 after what they said was about 9 months of drifting across the Pacific Ocean. What you lads need to be doing is investing in a GPS and a couple of paddles. I mean, call me old-fashioned. Ideally, a spare outboard. You know, if you want to go Captain Big Bananas. But at the very least, what you want to be doing is checking the iPhone, getting yourself a paddle, getting yourself back into shore. This is no way to be living. Three Mexican fishermen who say they spent about 9 months drifting across the Pacific Ocean were rescued a few years ago. The three men that they say survived on rainwater, seabirds and fish after the engine cut out on their boat. They were eventually picked up by a Taiwanese tuna trawler close to the Marshall Islands in the middle of summer. A trip to catch a shark off. They actually went to go and catch shark off the Mexican Pacific coast. Turned into an 8,000-kilometre ordeal. "Twice we almost sank," they said. The three men said that their fiberglass boat, equipped with all of 200 horsepower, motor, not particularly kick-ass, ran into trouble soon after setting out from their home. We were very scared. We had to eat seabirds that we caught with our hands. I don't think I would be able to do that. This happened to me. There's no bloody chance that you'd see me going back with a full beard and knocking around in my pants on an island, going, yeah, I mean, it was a tough gig. But, you know, at the end of the day, I just grabbed a few seabirds and just jumped out of the boat and you know, caught a fish in my hands, beat the crap out of that, and ate it as sushi. Because what are you going to do? No, this is what you'd hear. You'd hear Vinnie White died tragically 5 days after he went off Mexican coast. He tried to swim back, the bloody idiot. There was a few boats in the area, but the short-sighted buffoon couldn't see them. He's dead. That's the best as I could ever hope for. And I'd be happy with that. If I'd made 5 days, I'd want someone at my funeral to say, he was very much a hero. He really tried. 13 months, shove it up your hoop, not going to happen. unless, who's that fella, the English fella that's, you know, on that survival program? What's his name? Text me on 71010. Who? Not Les Stroud. No. Who's Les Stroud? Sounds like an anagram. Bear Grylls. Bear Grylls. Someone texted on 71010. Very good. Very impressive. I like that. My listeners are quicker than Google. I wish you were here all the time in a headset, you know, so I could look intelligent in a pub quiz. Unbelievable. Absolutely unbelievable. Got an email here from Emma Hart. She says, hi, Vinny. I heard your last show. It was very good. I think you pushed it a bit, to be honest, Emma, but I'll take it. I think the very was unnecessary and, frankly, not entirely true, but I'll take it. You were talking about the Funky Fresh Senior Choir. Yeah, we were. Can you just... I know we keep playing this every week, but can you just get us a tiny little clip, if you can, Elliot? So this is what I was playing last week. It's the Funky Fresh Senior Choir. She says, those well-intentioned but musically challenged seniors sure know how to kill Independent Woman by Destiny's Child and stamp on Hey Ya. Yeah. Have you got it there? This is a bit from them. Here we go! They're in their 80s. It's pretty cruel because a lot of them shake anyway. The guy you can hear is in his 40s, and he's obviously thought, I'm going to give this choir a new face. Yeah, you shouldn't have done it. And that's when one of the more questionable old gentlemen put his hand up her robe, I think. Yeah, that's what they do. A lot of that. That's enough. We can't do this again. We did it last week. But she does go on to say, those well-intentioned but musically challenged seniors sure know how to kill a tune. I am in a Toronto outfit named Choir, Choir, Choir. We do contemporary music properly. Now, when I read this, because I'm such a cynical bastard, I thought, oh, yeah. Sure you do. Of course you do. Trying to be down, cool, hip, bringing young people into the church any way you can see. Yeah, I bet you sound awful. She goes on to say, we have a load of stuff online, but the one I really want to share with you is Get Lucky. We get together and sing our lungs out often. You should come down. You could make sweet music like this. And then she sent me a link, and I dubiously clicked on it, and then was astonished to hear this. News Talk 1010, you're listening to Choir, Choir, Choir.
We're up all night together.
great. Choir. If it was a music channel, I'd probably play it in full, but I might get a slap if I do it all. There's a lot of babadaboos as well. I love a babadaboo. So I've decided when I get back from my trip, I'm gonna go down there and check it out. Choir. That's the kind of choir I want to be in, you know? Because when I grew up, I was put into a Church of England school, which is, I would imagine, the seventh circle of hell. And we had to do, when in assembly and stuff, we had to do hymns. And the problem I have with the British culture is, as you can tell, we're quite a sour bunch. I hope I fly that flag very strongly. And as a result, we're not very positive and groovy. Like, if you go to church in Alabama, they're throwing themselves around. And talking an enormous amounts of BS, of course, as well, which goes with the territory. But nonetheless, they're fainting on the floor and putting their hands up and saying, Jesus is here, hallelujah, oh, Jesus, etc. Which, I mean, say what you want about it, depending on your doctrine. But nonetheless, you can't say they're not positive. I mean, these people have got spark. Hmm? Whereas in a British school, it sounds like this. Oh, come on, be faithful. Joyful and triumphant. I mean, we make the words joyful and triumphant sound miserable and terrible. Joyful and triumphant. I can't be. And we've got all the money and the power in the world. We used to have like 3/4 of the world's surface when a lot of these songs were written. And yet we're still miserable. Whereas you go to Africa and you go to a poor, poverty-stricken village where they've got 10 cows... And they're all, hallelujah, oh yeah, na 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 na, etc. I wish they could bottle that and sell it back to Britain. We're such a sour bunch. So that's why I like them. I like Choir, and they're a Toronto outfit, and I'm going to go. When I get back from my trip, if I haven't been murdered, then I'm going to go. So there you go. By the way, I should tell you about the trip before the show wraps up. Sorry, it's all been very me, this show. I know. I'm gone for 7 weeks, so I'm just getting all the me out of the way now. I'm away for 7 weeks, and I'm going to Nicaragua. And I've never done anything like this before in my life. I've been in radio for about 7 or 8 years, and I've done a little bit of TV, not particularly well. And I thought, wouldn't it be good if I could broaden my portfolio and kill a few birds with a few stones, really? One, get away from the bloody cold. Let's be honest, I wouldn't be going down there if the temperatures were reversed. So that's one of the incentives for going down there. And the other one is to do some TV work. So I'm going to be trying to film a TV show / documentary in Nicaragua. You can find out more at vinnywhite.co.uk. Vinny White is my name, and then it's .co.uk if you want to find out about it. But essentially, I'm going to go down there, take a load of footage on my new sexy shiny camera, if it's not stolen, and then come back and attempt to edit it into some sort of exercise. The theme of the documentary is, I have to help someone. It doesn't matter what I do, I have to help them. I can build a house, I can help build a school, I can try and enroll some children in school, I can help build a building, I can help irrigate farmland, I can attempt to help build a well. All of these things, by the way, I'll do incredibly badly because I'm incredibly impractical. But I will try, and that's the beauty of it. I've got a little bit of money, but essentially, I suppose the closest thing this show is going to be like Secret Millionaire, but the secret is, I'm not a millionaire. So it's going to be like a man with a little money, a small budget, attempting desperately to help out at least one person, potentially, hopefully, a family. And then I'm going to come back 7 weeks later, put it all together, which will probably take about 4 or 5 months, and sell it to the Outdoor Life Network. That's the idea, or the Discovery Channel. So if you're a television executive and you like my voice, then why not buy my upcoming documentary, Vinny Gets Attacked? Sorry, must go in positively. Vinny Makes a Difference. Vinny Makes a Difference, coming to TV soon, probably. As you can tell, not entirely confident about the whole trip, but I'm going to give it a bloody good go. So that's that. If you want to learn more, you can. And as a result, I'll only be here for one more week. So we better make next week's show really good. Because then, 7 week break. No idea what they're doing. Do you know what they're doing, Elliot?
Not a clue, sorry.
No one's told you?
No.
You might have to come into this room and talk.
Uh-oh.
Can you do that?
I probably could. I had a show in college.
There you go. and that's how Canada's biggest talk radio station works. The host goes off. You ever done radio? Had a show in college. Sign here, big boy. You're going to go far. TV in 2 years after that. Yeah. Maybe we should auction off this show. Would you like to do 7 weeks of radio? Are you professional? Are you slightly worse than Vinny? Please don't be better than Vinny, because I really want my job back. Are you slightly worse than Vinny at radio, but acceptable? Then why not email? You can find my information at vinnywhite.co.uk. Maybe you should do the show while I'm gone. I think you'll be great. Please don't get drunk. You can't drag it into the ground. But if you've got any ideas on what we can do with the show while I'm gone, please do. We'll see. Thank you for your texts. Somebody said, Choir was 100 times better than the other act. Yes, I think that's certainly the case. Some people on tattoos, mostly saying, get what tattoos you want done at the end of the day. It's only you that's got to live with them. But I haven't met anyone that said that getting a tattoo in your eyeball is a good idea. Been a pleasure. Take care. See you later. See you next week. All the best.